for Amy and Isaac. It's been our joy to know them over this period of time, and we love the way they are enthusiastic and serve you. I think of the youth groups and many other areas. And we thank you for what you've laid on their heart in regard to this fellowship in the Philippines in a really difficult area. And we ask that you would help them to know your will, and you know, Lord, your timing is perfect when they go and how long they're going to be there. And we ask that you would help us to do what we can to support them. We also, Father, thank you for your word that we're going to look at now. We thank you for the book of Hebrews we're going through. We ask that you would help us to really take in the things that we're looking at this morning, that you would teach us and instruct us to the glory of your name. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's nearly, well, just over 2 months ago that Colin and I had the privilege to be in the Middle East, and that includes being in Israel and having a very special time in a very ancient city called Jerusalem. Especially, that was one of our highlights, spending 5 full days there. And I think I've shared with you already that special time I had when I went down the Kidron Valley up to the Mount of Olives as the sun was rising to see the ancient city lit up. And it was such a joy walking through these streets and going through ancient gates, knowing that this is the very place that Jesus came and taught, the place that he actually died and rose again in this city called Jerusalem. If you know your Bible, Jerusalem is a pretty special place. Isn't that true? Jerusalem is highlighted as a place that God has chosen. And I think right back to the days of Abraham. God directed Abraham to take his one and only son Isaac to where Jerusalem is to sacrifice his one and only son. Do you remember that story? And it was to Jerusalem, Mount Moriah, where Abraham went. I hope you all know it was a test of faith. Of course, God stopped Abraham from sacrificing his one and only son. But when you think of that story, isn't it an amazing story in regard to how God would one day sacrifice his one and only son in Jerusalem? And there was no heavenly voice to stop God doing what he did. It was the only way by which we could be saved. And also, of course, Jerusalem was special because that was the city that King David conquered. And it was a city where God put upon his heart that this is where the temple should be built. And David made amazing plans for God's temple to be built in Jerusalem. And when Jesus returns, Jerusalem is also very special, because when Jesus returns, there's prophecies that speak about him placing his feet upon the Mount of Olives, and he shall descend upon Jerusalem. Wow. So why is Jerusalem so special? Why has God chosen this place compared to all the other places in the world? We don't know. God chose it. And as I think about that, I now want to reflect upon something that is very personal for us. Why is it that God has chosen human beings to be favoured and blessed by him? Why would we ever matter to God when we think of his vast creation? What about that? Does that blow your mind away when you think of how God has treated us so special that we are the objects of amazing blessing? There's not anything else that God created. You know, you think of all the animal species there are and plants. It's human beings that have been so honoured and blessed by God. And even when we compare ourselves to angels, we need to remember that the blessing and honour that God has bestowed on humans is even greater than the angels. And why do I say that for? Because we know that the angels that fell, the fallen angels, did not receive grace and mercy, but they receive judgment and condemnation. But it's fallen humans that have experienced the grace, mercy, and love of God. Christ didn't die for angels. He died for us humans. That makes us pretty special, doesn't it? And this morning, we're going to look at some amazing passages from our Bible reading, Hebrews chapter 2, as we continue our series in the book of Hebrews, this sermon series through Hebrews. And we're going to be looking at verses 5 to 12 of Hebrews chapter 2. And as we consider these verses this morning, we're going to see some awesome truths. We're going to see God's honour of us, Christ's humility for us, and Christ's honour of us as well. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 5 to the first part of verse 8. Hebrews chapter 2, 5 to 8. For he that is God did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you remember him? Or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You made him a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honour and have appointed him over the works of your hands. You put all things in subjection under his feet. I'll just pause it there. So here we have a remarkable passage. And what I find amazing here is that the Hebrew writer, he picks up on a psalm, one of the beloved psalms of David. It's interesting how it's put here, but one has testified somewhere. But I'm sure every Jewish person who was reading this would have known where this came from. Psalm 8. It's Psalm 8. And the Hebrew writer picks up on a passage, Psalm 8, that is just so delightful. Do you know Psalm 8? Psalm 8 is this passage that speaks about how amazing it is that God should be concerned for us. Now, I know verse 3 of Psalm 8 isn't quoted here, but Psalm 8 verse 3 says these words, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, and then it goes on to verse 4, which is what's quoted in Hebrews 2 here, what is man that you take thought of him or remember him? And David the psalmist wants us to realise that isn't it incredible that God should have such concern for us? So let's just think about it, all right? Let's just remember that the universe is pretty big, isn't it? And what are you? What am I in this big universe? This universe that God fills. The universe that God measures by just the span of his hand. This universe is huge. Why would God be bothered about us? Because what are we? We're nothing but like a dot in the universe. Sorry about that, but that's how it is, all right? And yet the psalmist wants us to know that even though we are just a little minute being in the whole universe, we really matter to God. And you know, what also blows our mind away is that we're not just little dots in the universe. We have been rebellious dots. And how incredible it is that God should still remember us and care for us. I often think of the example of the black ants in the backyard. You know those little black ants that are in the backyard. And we know that it would be ridiculous for any human being to actually take time out to get to know an ant, to care and consider that ant. And especially when you lay on the grass and they bite you. Alright? Alright, they're annoying now. But the reality is it's even more than that, that our God has had such a compassionate love and concern for us humans. It is beyond measure, isn't it? Isn't it? It sure is. And the Hebrew writer wants to remind us of this great truth in Hebrews chapter 2. So when I look at these words that come from Psalm 8, when I look at verse 6, it says, what is man that you remember him? Or the son of man that you are concerned about him. And the reality is God does remember us. He knows us. God is concerned for us. He cares for us. And who affirmed that as well? Jesus did. Jesus affirmed these very words, didn't he? He talks about how much our Father in heaven knows us. He knows the number of hairs on our head, how valuable we are to him. And then it says in verse 7, you made him for a little while lower than the angels. Wow. Humans. Even in our state now, we are, it says, just made lower than the angels. We have such an importance about us. And we have been crowned with glory and honor. And God has appointed us to be over the works of his hands. Remember back in Genesis chapter 1 where God did that. where he made humans rule over the works of his hand. What honor and glory humans have. Not only are we cared for and loved, but God has given great honor to us. What do you think? Being a human being is fantastic, isn't it? It sure is. It's so amazing to be a human being. And I've got to ask this question. Why, O Lord, are we so valuable to you? Why are we the object of your love and concern? Why have you bestowed such honor upon us? And my first answer would be, I don't know. But I also do know something really special in the very first book of the Bible, in the very first chapter. You know what that is? We haven't been made like any other creature. We've been made in the image of God. And I believe that is so much more important than we could ever imagine. We have been made in the image of God. We have been made in His likeness. And because of that reason, God has bestowed upon us great honor. Great honor indeed. But why is Psalm 8 even quoted here in Hebrews chapter 2? Now I want to refer you back to verse 5. That's how it all began. In verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 2 it says, "For God did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking." And that's how it begins, and then Psalm 8 is brought out here. And what the Hebrew writer wants us to realize is that he wants again to declare to us, he's already done this, in regard to humans and angels, humans are higher than angels. And what is to come? The world to come. The new creation. The new heavens and earth. The new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven, as recorded in Revelation 21. This whole new creation is going to be for humans. And it's going to be subject to humans, not to angels. And it's like a huge reminder of how incredibly important we are to God. What do you think about all these things? Like, these are awesome truths. Behold God's honor of us. He has made us higher than the angels. He's even made the world subject to us when the new creation comes in. But you know, as we think about these things in Hebrews chapter 2, I now want to share how we have put a big spanner in the works. We've messed it all up. What honor God bestowed upon humans, but we all know deep down, we all should know this, especially as Christians, we have blown it. We have sinned. We have dishonored the one who has honored us so much. We have turned our back on the one who loves and cares for us so, so much. We have broken his heart in our horrible and hopeless behavior against him. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, we've all been doing the same. Sin's not just breaking a command, it's hurting God so much. And we have forfeited all the glory and the honor that was bestowed upon us. We have forfeited it. And of course, not only that, but we are guilty before a holy God, and we stand awaiting, all of us are awaiting the day of judgment, when God shall sentence us to eternal death because of our sin. That's pretty full on. We face eternal punishment, and we also have forfeited the glory and honor that God desired to pour upon us. And that's the truth. And yet beyond belief, God has done something incredible to rescue us from what we deserve and to return us to a place of incredible blessing. And you should know how God has done that. God has done it through Jesus. Through Jesus. And we pick this up in Hebrews chapter 2 as we keep on reading. Let's read verse 8 again and down to verse 10. Verses 8 to 10. And it says there, "You put all things in subjection under his feet." And then it goes on to say, "For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him." And that's an inference to the fall. we don't have all things subject to man because of our fall. But then we read this incredible verse. But we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. Wow. And I know the Hebrew writer is going to really just expand on this as we go through the book of Hebrews. But in a nutshell, what the Hebrew writer wants us to realize is that there is something incredible that has happened so that we might be rescued from what we deserve and that we might be restored to God's wonderful blessings that he wants to put upon the human race. And it's all happened through Jesus. It's all happened through what Jesus has done for us. And friends, to capture it in one word, Jesus has humbled himself for us. That's what he did. Do you remember what Hebrews 1 began with? Hebrews 1 began with those incredibly big truths about Jesus. That he is the one who has spoken God's word in the last days. He's the one who created the world with the Father. He is the one who's the heir of all things. He's the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of his nature. Wow. He's the one who sustains the whole universe by the power of his word. That's Jesus. And what we read in Hebrews 2 should blow our minds away. It's this Jesus who humbled himself, so greatly and became a human being in order to save us, in order to bring about God's incredible blessings upon the human race again, for all those that are who believe in him, who turn to him and trust in him. So when we read this sort of passage, it should really touch our hearts as we reflect again upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. You know, picking up on verse 9, but we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. He was made, it says, for a little while lower than the angels. What? Jesus? He's the one who is the object of worship by the angels. He's the one that the angels, they came into being through Jesus. But you see what the Hebrew writer is telling us here? He's telling us that Christ's humiliation was huge. You know what it says in Philippians chapter 2? Remember that passage? It says in Philippians 2, although Jesus existed in the form of God, verse 6 of Philippians 2, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is what our Creator has done for us. I can only imagine all the angels of God just being so amazed that this is what Jesus did for us humans. He humbled himself and he put himself lower than the angels. What does that mean? It means that he put himself in a place where he could be tempted. He put himself in a place where he was vulnerable, where he could be taken and arrested, where he could forego all that mighty power he had to deliver himself and allow himself to be crucified and to die and to bear our sin. In that sense, he made himself lower than the angels. Why would he do such a thing? Why would the great king ever do such a thing? Because of his love for us. And because of his obedience to his Father in heaven. And I can't help but pick up in those verses those great truths. Why did Jesus do all this for us? Look at some of the phrases that are used here. So that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. And there I can't help but see it. He is the author of our salvation. That's why he did this. He is the pioneer and founder of our salvation. Without him, we have no salvation. We are ruined. We have no hope. We are damned. But Jesus is the author of our salvation, and he has brought us to be into a place where we are the sons, We have been brought, what does it say, been bringing many sons to glory. He has brought us into this place of glory and blessing. All because of Jesus humbling himself. That's the key that the Hebrew writer wants you to see. He wants you to see, consider how low Jesus went. What he stooped to, what he had to bear through in order to save us and to bring about the blessings of Psalm 8, the blessings that God wants to bestow on us. This is what Jesus did for us. And why are we reminded of these things? So that we might have a great, great, great appreciation for Jesus. That we might love him and love him and love him more and more. It's so important that we remember who Jesus is. Our whole Christian life is meant to be lived out because we love him dearly. And that's why we are reminded of these things. Just picking up on a few phrases here. In verse 8 at the end it says these words. Sorry, not verse 8, verse 9. It says that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Jesus so humbled himself by God's grace and by his own love for us that he died for us. He tasted death for everyone. Ever thought about his death? Why did Jesus die? He died because he was paying the penalty for our sins. The penalty for our sins is death. It is spiritual death. And it is physical death. And Jesus experienced those two things when he died upon the cross. He experienced spiritual death. He was separated from his Father for the only time in all eternity. And he also experienced physical death. He paid my penalty for sin. He paid your penalty for sin. He died. He tasted death for everyone so that we might become the sons and daughters of God. What an amazing Savior he is. And there's another phrase that intrigues me. At the end of verse 10 it says, God says to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. It always intrigues me the word perfect. He was already perfect, wasn't he? Of course he is. Jesus has been perfect for all eternity. But it says here that he was even made more perfect, if you can put it that way, through his sufferings. And what that means is when Jesus humbled himself and allowed himself to be arrested and falsely tried and crucified, do you realize that his perfection was shining more and more brightly? He's already perfect. He's made more perfect, if you can say that. Because even in the face of all that, the horribleness he went through, what was he? He was completely obedient to his Father's will. He was absolutely perfect. To the point where he was crucified and he died and he bowed his head and plunged into that chasm of death, knowing full well that the Father would catch him. He trusted his Father. He was absolutely obedient to his Father. What perfection is seen in Jesus? And in that perfection, he has saved us. Can you imagine Jesus? You know, if he wasn't perfect right through his life, including the trial of the cross, we would all be damned as well. Perfect from beginning to end. Perfect when it came to that time of trusting his Father and dying in our place. Absolutely perfect. And by his perfection, we have been saved. By his humility, we have been saved. And it says there, in the scriptures, Hebrews 2 verse 9, that Jesus has been crowned with glory and honor. We know that he was raised from the dead. He's been crowned with glory and honor. And you know what? What Jesus has done for us has enabled us to be crowned with glory and honor too. Wow. All because Christ humbled himself for us. I hope you love Jesus. Do you? I hope you appreciate him more than anyone or anything else in this whole world. Just to think that he humbled himself for me. That's enough. That's amazing that he should do that for me. But I just want to finish on two more verses. And it says in verses 11 and 12, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And friend, I don't know if you appreciate what I've just read there, but there's something so staggering that comes out of those two verses. Nowhere else in the Bible do we have anything like this. Here are some really, really, really special words. Not only has Christ humbled himself for us, but it says he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. In other words, he is honored to call us brothers and sisters. This is where we get that phrase, Jesus is our brother. Jesus is our brother. That is incredible, isn't it? The great King should be our brother. And he's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters of him. You see, so great has been the humility of Christ. He has come down. He has embraced our humanity. He died on the cross. He has a resurrected human body in heaven. There's a physical human body, the body of Jesus. He's embraced our humanity. And he loves the fact that we have become his brothers and sisters. You see, friends, we are part of the family of God. Jesus stooped down in order to make us sons and daughters of the living God. He is the eternal Son. There is only one. But we have become sons and daughters of the living God. And when the Christians grasp these sort of things, I tell you what, it transforms your life. What an incredible transformation we have, because our older brother went before us and died for us and rose again to bring us into the family. Praise his name. No wonder we have so many songs to praise Jesus with, because of what he's done for his people. If only God would open our eyes to comprehend these things more and more. I tell you what that would lead to. Obedience of life. Faithful living. Living uncompromised lives. That's why the Hebrew writer wants to tell us about this Jesus, so that we might truly live for him. That all our praises be to him. What a great Savior Jesus is. And what a thing, what an honor Christ bestows on us in calling us brothers and sisters. Isn't that a real honor? I am so thrilled that I have an older brother. A wonderful older brother. I'm a hopeless brother to my brother. Really, compared to Jesus, what an older brother we all have, who loves us so much, who gave his life for you to save you, who has made a place in heaven for you, who's longing for you to be with him one day in glory. And he calls us my brother, my sister. Man, that is just so special. I don't know what you think about it, but I can't get over that. That is amazing. It's just such a unique passage here in Hebrews chapter 2, like no other, but it's meant to thrill our heart. And you know, before I finish, there is another part of verse 12 I have to bring up. It says, in verse 12, it says, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. And so Jesus has, by the mighty Spirit, he has proclaimed his name to us. Our brother has proclaimed his name to us. And then it says, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Oh, hang on. Let me read that again. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And what that is saying is that every time we meet together, Jesus is present with us. And what's he doing? He is singing praises to God with us. Because that's how close our brother is. That's how dear we are to him. And specifically, he is singing praise to his Father in heaven with us. Which sort of reminds me of when we sing our songs, we shouldn't just be singing to Jesus, we should be singing to the Father. Because Jesus sings with us praises to his Father. That's why we try and have a balance of Father and Son worship in church. So when we sing those great songs to the Father, you ought to have, by faith, this wonderful grasp that Jesus is singing with us. Isn't that amazing? These verses, I don't know, I could ponder them for years, I reckon. There's so much here. And just in a short sermon, I'm trying to bring you what's in these passages. But I want you to be so delighted in Jesus. I want it to be that you so love this one who has so humbled himself and so honored us that we should become the children of God. He is my brother, even though he is the king. I never take away from that. Even though he is my creator, even though he is the worship of all the angels, yet he's my brother, my dear brother, who is with me and sings songs of praise to God. Wow. That's our Lord Jesus, the Father's Son. And now what we're going to do, we're going to sing a song that should express our hearts, hopefully, that we have a desire to long for him and to worship him. And it says in verse 3, you're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are the king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. And it's pretty hard finding a song that speaks about Jesus being our brother. This is the only one I could find. So that's why we got it. Let's stand and sing together as the deer pants. Our Father, we thank you for all the scriptures, and we thank you for this very special passage we've looked at this morning. We thank you for how we can't help but see from the very beginning of time how you have so honored human beings. You've put upon us such glory and honor that staggers us, especially when we consider how small we are in your universe. But Father, we know we've really messed up, not just Adam and Eve, we all have. We have forfeited every right to every blessing. And yet, beyond belief, your Son, in his humility, has brought us back to you. May that be a huge thing for us. May it be something that has such impression upon us that our life is transformed every day. That the King, our Creator, should die for us. That he should humble himself for us. And Lord, it even gets better than that. We can't get over the fact that Jesus, even your Son who sits at your right hand right now, should call us a brother and a sister. That he embraces the fact that we have become your children. And he loves that truth. I'm sure it was a joy set before him that he endured the cross, the joy of going home to be with you and the joy of knowing that his brothers and sisters would be with him for all eternity. Thank you so much for what Jesus has done for us. Lord, I know this sermon is not about how to live the Christian life better. It's about love for your Son. It's real appreciation for him, where we can't help but bow our knees to the ground and worship and honor him. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful Son. Thank you for what you have done through him. May all of us have genuine, devoted hearts towards Jesus, and may that show in our life. Lord, thank you again for these very special words we looked at this morning. You know how we get knocked about in this world, and we can have all sorts of horrible things said about us. But we thank you for Jesus, who says, "You're my brother, you're my sister." Thank you for his special love and care for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.